Yes. There's a question that asks, are you able to explain how you personally meditate on compassion? Do you start with visualizations of someone or something that you can feel compassion for? Feelings compassion is what I'm wanting to develop. Actually, to be able to have a true compassion, actually you have to come from your wisdom, your understanding. The compassion actually is not the, oh, poor thing, this person, I pity you. And that is actually come from ego, this person, lesser, I pity you. And a lot of people think that this is compassion. And compassion, people think that, oh, yeah, if this person said, I feel sad as well, that's why I have compassion. No, actually compassion have to come from your wisdom. Because you actually compassion itself, actually if you're truly compassionate, you're very peaceful and calm. And you have the wisdom, you understand that the suffering of another person, you can understand why they suffer and you don't judge. And in order to have that true compassion, you need to develop your wisdom. That's why it comes naturally as you purify your mind. As we purify our minds and our defilements, lesser and lesser, then we are naturally become kinder and kinder, and we are become more and more compassionate. And we started to, as we let go more and more, not to hold on to that, as we let go more. And then we slowly, we have, there's different level, it's a gradual training. You cannot say, I train this, immediately I got this. It's not, this is a spiritual, path is really different from in the worldly way that we want to get something, we want to achieve things, It's not. You have to let go a lot. Let go, And especially with those unwholesome defilements and unwholesome emotion. And normally that leads you to lots of suffering because it's like, for example, anger, lust. It's not that they are bad. We don't judge that it's good or bad. The fact that we are in this we've been reborn in this, we call it, it's a sensory world. That's why we have this sensual pleasure, we have this feelings, touch, we have this because we've been born into this, so it's part of being born in the world. It's not that it's bad, So but a lot of people tend to judge themselves because they have idea of how they should be, or maybe being taught that you have to be good, you have to behave in a certain way, then you are good, So that they're locked into their fixed idea, fixed views of how they should be. And rather than try to understand that it's part of nature, part of being born into this sensory world, because we get our, happiness through all the sensory pleasure. So that's why we learn how to have behave and not, because most people there's only option, the happiness is come from sensory pleasure, as a sensual pleasure, from the from the touch, from seeing nice things or eating good food. But there is another option that we don't have to rely on this in order to be happy. Like, for example, the happiness will come from meditation, the happiness will come from being of service, giving, generosity, and the happiness come from being a virtuous person. You restrain yourself, you restrain your bodily speech or mind, and you feel good that, because at the end of the day, when you reflect, I haven't done anything, I'd be able to restrain myself, not to be nasty, say something that is nasty, because deep down we know what we have done, isn't it? Sometimes if you have done something that is not unskillful, then afterwards, you feel you have that remorse, you feel really not very good about yourself, So when we restrain ourselves, actually the more we restrain ourselves, especially, our bodily, action, speech, So when we speak, make sure that our speech is not right speech. We said we practice right speech. Then not something that we said something that is cause any hurts or harm to others. So actually, this whole path of practice, and the Buddha mentioned this whole path of practice is the noble four path. That is, but if you make it into, it's a threefold. That is a morality, stillness, calming, a peace, have a peaceful mind, and then wisdom. Only through wisdom that you be able to break through. Because without wisdom, it's just like you don't know where to head, and then you can't see, because when your mind is confused and it's just like it's so clouded, you can't see a thing. And you don't really know where is the direction, where the direction that you should hit, isn't it? So first of all, you have to develop that, you know. Because we all, whatever now, we develop certain habitual pattern. We've been conditioned from our childhood, you know. So we react in a certain way, you know. And like yesterday, I have a few questions because I was thinking I'm going to conclude this in this talk, like dealing with the defilements, like whether it's you addicted to porn, internet, or the sexual energy. They're just defilements, but we tend to judge ourselves. There's like, first of all, you know, to deal with this, you'll be able to come to a place of acceptance. It's okay, this is how I feel. But because we think that it's not okay, so we tend to beat ourselves up. It's terrible. I shouldn't feel that way. It's non-self. You cannot control. It just comes out, you know. So because by beating yourself up, it's just like a double dose, you know. you beat yourself up. Actually, you reinforce that, you know. And actually, you make it worse. So just to acknowledge that it's okay, you know. This is because the fact that we've been born in the sensory world, this is part of that. You know, the whole package, like you get the whole package, part of the whole package, you know. And we understand that. This is how you slowly develop understanding. Understanding that this is part of nature, part of life, you know. So we accept that. Just to be honest about that, you know. We are not, because many people tend to run away, not to look at it. And then they said that, the reason why sometimes people have all this addiction because of that they do know other way to deal with something that they don't like to look at, you know, some of the pain, you know, the mentally, you know, the mental suffering and some of the things that is just so unpleasant. They don't want to look at it. Then usually people tend to, as an escape route, you run away. So they say sometimes people into drugs, alcohol, they become OCD, you know, obsessive with doing things. This is a way to not to look at yourself. Like some people like to shop, you know, shopaholic, and then, you know, all sorts of things that they tend to go out to distract themselves rather than to stay and look at it, you know. So that's why it needs a bit of training. That's why practice present moment awareness actually is part of that. To learn how to face yourself, to look at the emotion, and not to be judgmental about yourself, not to judge yourself. So, yeah, this is how I feel. Honest about that, yes, you know, accept that. And then the exercise forgiveness. Forgive yourself. So if you find that, you don't have to force yourself, you know, that I should be able to forgive myself. No. If you can't forgive yourself, fine. But you can send loving kindness towards yourself, good wishes to yourself. May I be able to forgive myself? Because sometimes you cannot force, isn't it? I mean, in theory, we all understand, theoretically, isn't it? But sometimes the mind just not unable to do that, and you cannot use willpower and force. Come on, you stupid idiot, you should be to forgive yourself. You can't do that. The more you do that, actually, you reinforce. It's just like a double dose, you know. It pops out, and then you reinforce that again. And then next time, when this defilements, you know, arises again, it becomes more intense, and it keep building up. The energy keep building up. So you don't reinforce that, but we exercise forgiveness. Like, many years ago, one of my relatives, she's been abused by her husband, and then she left him, and she told me that actually she wanted to let that go because it already passed. She didn't want to carry the anger, you know, because towards her ex-husband, because she knows that it's not good for her, If she unable to forgive, unable to let that go, she is the one who suffered. It's not the person who suffered. And then, but she found it very difficult. And she asked me, how can I practice loving kindness? Because I try to say, oh, may you be well and happy. I tell you, the person that is the fourth person, you know, the third person that, you know, a fourth person, that when the person that you hate, it's very difficult unless you have already developed that loving kindness. It's a difficult person. So you don't go with the difficult person. So I told her, you send loving kindness towards yourself, wishing yourself, may I have loving kindness towards this person, but not that you should have loving kindness towards this person. And then she said, oh yeah, that's, I can do that, you know. Then not forcing yourself to have loving, you can't, isn't it? She said, I can't. The moment I try to send loving kindness, oh, may you be well and happy, all these horrible things pops up in my mind. She said, it's very difficult. I just can't. And then she got sucked in, you know, all the in the past what this person has done, you know. And it's very difficult. She said, I can't do that. I said, no. You don't try to send loving kindness towards that person. But you wish yourself that may I be able to forgive this person, may I be able to have loving kindness towards this person, then it's more doable than you try to. We don't have, isn't it? You don't force yourself. You really have no loving kindness towards the person, isn't it? You can't force, you know. That is just being honest, you know. Then, but you can always send good wishes to yourself, isn't it? May I be able to forgive? May I have loving kindness towards this person? May I have compassion towards this person? Because kindness, compassion, and this is not, you cannot, develop this overnight. You know, it's over a period of time. So part of the compassion and kindness is come from the purity of your mind. You see, you look at all the children, they're naturally kind and compassionate, isn't it? Because they're pure. They have no defilements, you know, when child. Then as they grow up, when they started to have more and more defilements, then you less, you know, then because the sense of self built up. Because a child, they don't have sense of self, you know, their sense of self, like, you know. So then they're really naturally very kind, you know, because they are pure. You know, so this is how we, because and then as we grow, and then this is how a lot of rubbish we've been thrown in into our mind. Now the work that we do is just like we're cleaning all the rubbish, you know, all the rubbish that we put into our mind. So that's why this is a gradual training. So that's why to deal with this, all this defilement, then to become to develop kindness, compassion, this is you have to take up the whole path of practice. Meditation itself is not enough, you know. So you have to practice generosity. Actually, generosity is part of virtue, the morality, because generosity is an act of kindness. You've been too kind, you know. Being helpful to others, being kind to others, and being a virtuous person is also an act of generosity, because you when you restrain yourself, practicing non-violent and non-harming, actually you're being kind to others and kind to yourself. So loving kindness always have to include yourself. You don't exclude yourself, you know, because you're doing that is not only for your own benefit and for the benefit of others. When we practice restrain our bodily speech or mind, when the unwholesome thoughts, you know, arises, we be able not to restrain ourselves, not to go along with the unwholesome thoughts. There is a difference between restrain and suppress. Restrain is that you have the clarity, you can see that these thoughts pops up. You know that if you follow, you're feeding this unwholesome thoughts, you lead you to more suffering. Then you restrain yourself not to follow that. You have the clarity and you be able to see that this is unwholesome thoughts. But suppress is that you don't know. You develop a habit that you want to run away because this comes out unpleasant, I push it aside. And then whenever this unwholesome emotion or thoughts pops up, you push it aside. And then if you keep repeat, like the Buddha said, you know, if you keep repeat doing the same action again and again and again, all over again and again, you develop a certain habitual pattern, and then you become so good, it becomes default setting. And then you do it even, you know, unconsciously, you're doing it, you just push it away, so you don't know. And then you keep suppressing, until one day that you can't hold anymore, then you explore. So that's why there is a difference. When we practice restraint, actually, our mind, we strengthen our mind. Then our mind becomes stronger and more stable, and we'll be able to say no. But sometimes, when our mind is not strong enough, sometimes even though we are mindful of that someone maybe said nasty thing to us, and then we know that, you know, that I just let it be. I don't want to say anything nasty to that person. But you can't help yourself, and you can't bite back your tongue. You still want to say something. Afterwards, it's like, why should I want to entertain this person? But because that moment, you're not able to hold, even though you're aware of that. But that's why if you practice restraint, it's helped you to be able to say no, you know, to those defilements, to those that unwholesome state of mind, or those unwholesome defilements, you know, that this unwholesome emotion that leads you to suffering. You know, but of course, we have wholesome emotion like joy, happiness, you know, and then compassion, forgiveness, you know, respect, gratitude. That is because that brings you happiness. That kind of emotion is a happy, that kind of emotion, wholesome emotion that leads you to freedom. You know, so that's why we actively cultivate that through your daily life. That's why it's important, you know, how you live your life is important. You know, we have to apply this in our daily life. It's not that you just study on theory, you know. Buddhism is a religion that you need to put into practice and realize yourself. Because when you read all these books, the wisdom is from others. It's not your wisdom, you know. But you can't really comprehend, isn't it? Because it's somebody's wisdom. But if you apply it in your daily life, you realize it yourself. And you have the wisdom, you have the clarity. And that stays with you. And that the only way that to solve your own life problem is to develop your own wisdom. We can't rely on others, you know. We're not just theoretically, yeah. And because it's all concept, you know. I remember we talk about this DIY, because when I was in Singapore, someone come up to me. He said that, you know, I've been searching, looking around, and to find a suitable religion, and I find that Buddhism is a religion that is a very confusing religion. Then I said, you're right. I said, you're right. I said you can't understand when you read about Buddhism, that, you know, I said you cannot comprehend. I said because it's just like you never taste a lemon before. I tried to describe to you how's a lemon taste like. You can only imagine, isn't it? I tell you this color sour. What is sour? You know, it's just to you. It's just a concept. It's not your own direct experience. So I said, Buddhism, you have to, yeah, we give you certain guidelines, you know, certain guidelines you follow, but you have to put into practice and realize it yourself. So it's a realized religion. So it's a DIY. We don't pray for someone to rescue us, but we rescue ourselves, you know, through our own wisdom, to see where's our problem coming from, what's leading us this suffering, you know. So that's like you have to put into practice. It's not just studying, you know. It's just all concept, isn't it? It's not your experience, you know. People keep expressing you, you know. You haven't experienced that before. People keep trying to tell you. Like sometimes some of the things that I mentioned that, if you experienced that before, if I talk about it, you know exactly what I'm talking. isn't it? But if you never experienced that before, to you it still remain a concept. You know, until you have that direct experience. That's why you have to put into practice. You know, that's why practice generosity. Generosity is not that you have to give lots of things to others. Even you give someone a smile, it's being kind, it's giving. It's not what you give. It's not how expensive or, you know, it's not. It's actually that is the intention from you that you want to give and you're happy to give. Even a smile. I remember last year, when I was in Canberra, we have a conference and someone talked about this, that they have this helpline for suicidal, you know, those guys. And then they said that someone that they have gone through that, then because he shared his story, because this person said that he was really above to, on his way to commit suicide. And then he feels so lonely, so miserable, so depressed, nobody really care, you know. And on his way, and someone on the other side smile and wave at him. Then he said, oh, still someone, you know, being kind to me, you know. Actually, that moment, the smile, the person didn't even know that what he has done. He didn't know that he has saved this person's life, you know. And he is a true story that person share that this is that's happened. Because sometimes that moment when we suck into that negativity, that negative emotion, we can't see ourselves, you know. But because the person, and then wave and smile, give him the break, you know. You don't go further, it's a break. And then, you know, this person's so nice. And then he feel good that, oh, this person's so nice and give me a smile and wave to me, you know. And that stopped him. And that's why sometimes never underestimate. Sometimes you give someone a smile, you save somebody's life, you know. So not to be stingy about your smile. Give someone a smile. It's an easy thing to do, isn't it? Doesn't cost you anything, a smile, isn't it? And then, you know, it's sometimes just a smile meant a lot to other, you know. They say, this is kindness. So actually you have to develop this throughout your life, your daily life, how you live your life. Are you being someone helpful? Are you being someone, you know, generous, you know? But of course, practice generosity, kindness. It's also, you have to have wisdom, you know? You have to know your strength. Sometimes people so kind to others, then, you know, they're not kind to themselves, you know? And then they stress themselves out, try to help everybody, you know? And then they ended up so tired. Then there's no good, isn't it? So you're not helping yourself. You're helping others, but you're not helping yourself. So you have to know your strength. Again, you see, wisdom play a very important role. You know, if you don't have wisdom, you just, because you attach to being kind rather than just being kind. You know, the attachment of I'm a kind person and you just being kind is two different things, because that come from, you attach to the identity, you know, the image of kind person, good person, you know. Then the attachment come with the ego. But you just being kind, you just happy to help, happy to just to want to give, you know. Then also you have to know where your strength, you know. And sometimes like you think that, oh, I just want to, I'm being kind, I want to help the other person. But sometimes like not always that like, say yes to everyone that means that you're kind. Sometimes when you say yes to the person, actually you help the person to reinforce that person's defilements. If the person have the certain, you know, defilements, maybe they are very greedy, they're demanding, you know, then if you always say yes to that person, actually you reinforce that, you know, that person defilements. You're not really helping. They say sometimes doesn't mean that I'm a Buddhist, I have to say yes, I have to, you know, help everybody, you know, I have to be a kind person, you know. Then first of all, you have to look at where your strength, whether I can help, how much I can help, isn't it? If you can lift only 10 kilo, you don't force yourself to lift 100 kilo, you break your back, you know. This is how you have to know yourself, that how your strength, how much you can do. So if you can't do it, you have to say, sorry, no, I can't do it. Because when you said no, actually you're being kind to yourself and kind to the other person. You know, if you can't help the person and then we try to help, actually it's not really helping the person. You know what I mean? Sometimes some people so kind want to help, you know, and then they leave a mess and then you have to clean up again. It's better off they don't help, isn't it? You know, that's why sometimes you have to know our strength, you know, how much we can help. Not just, you know, attached to the image, you know, of being kind. You know, so you know your strength. You know, sometimes it doesn't mean that the people think, oh, being a Buddhist, you shouldn't be assertive. Sometimes we need to be assertive. It's like, no, you know, but in a kind way, you know, in a nice way, you know, have to be assertive. You know, said no, I can't do that. You know, some people that keep bucking you. You know, oh yeah, please come and then some after people keep doing that, you say okay. You know, I help. You know, because I used to, you know, when I was a lay person, I used to be very helpful. You know, I call it busybody. You know, just everybody want to help. You know, busybody, and then I find it, and eventually, my plate is really full. And then I stressed myself out. Then I was thinking, oh yeah, I think I can't do. I should say no. Then when people come and ask me, actually deep down I want to say no, but because I just that time I felt that if I said no, the person may not like me. Then I'm no longer a nice person, you know. And then I said yes again, you know. Then take me a while to really. To say no. Then when I learn to say no, then easier, you know. Actually, I learned to say no because I ended up that I just not being kind to myself, you know. Just helping everybody busy with other people's business, you know. And then no time for yourself. And that's really not good because your loving kindness, actually you have to include yourself. You have to be kind to ourselves. We have to come first, you know. It's only, the Buddha said, only we can help ourselves, then only we can help others. You know, you help yourself first, isn't it? Even you go on the aircraft, you know, you put on the oxygen mask, you know. They have to set the adult put first, isn't it? You have to be safe, only you can save your child. If you die, who going to look after the child, isn't it? So you have to, you know, if you really truly being to practice kindness, you have to come from yourself first. You have to be kind to yourself. That's why sometimes it's good to have a boundary. Nowhere is a boundary to be more assertive. So talk about assertive. I remember there was this is a joke, you know. This mild-minded man. He used to be boss. You know, around by his wife, you know, bossing him around, and then to a point that he feels so depressed and he feels so he couldn't handle anymore. So he went to see the psychologist, and then you know, telling him that you know, I've been you know, been bossed you know by my wife, you know, I just so depressed. Then the psychologist said to him that you have to learn to be assertive. So then give him the book about assertiveness. So he took the book on his way back. He read the book, you know. Then by the time he arrived home, he finished reading the books of assertiveness, how to be assertive. So he went in there, he stormed into the house, you know. He talked to the wife, pointing finger at the wife, you know. And from today onwards, I'm the owner, I'm the master of this house. My words is an order. Tonight, you're going to prepare me, point my finger like that, prepare me, you know, a nice meal and followed by a sumptuous dessert. And then after that, you have to draw me a bath. When I finish, guess who is going to dress me and comb my hair? And then the wife answered, the funeral director. You Yeah, because sometimes a lot of people have this idea of like how, you know, perception, like, oh, you're Buddhist, you know, you should be bully, you know. Oh, I'm very kind, you know, let people walk all over us. No, not like that, you know. But we can say, no, being assertive, but in a kind way, not in a nasty way. You know, we don't harm others, but, you know, we don't bite, but at least we hiss, you know. Say, no, you can't do that. Because sometimes if you keep quiet, they will keep, you know, taking, you know, be more and more demanding, because actually we are feeding the defilements as well. So that's why you have to be very clear that my strength, I can only do that much. I can't do more than that. This is my strength. It's also being honest to oneself, isn't it? So one of the spiritual qualities the Buddha mentioned, like truthfulness. Truthfulness is not only not lying to others, including yourself. We don't lie to ourselves. We really don't feel like doing it. I know that I can't do it. So we just be honest. Like, okay, sorry, I can't do it. That's why when we come to a place of acceptance, when we acknowledge ourselves, you know, that yes, this is something I need to work on. This is something really, I know that this is defilements, whatever you have, any defilements, you know, like addiction, you know, like whether porn, internet, or the sensual desires, whatever. Actually, they're just defilements. You know, it's not one defilement better than another. But we judging ourselves. You know, it's just defilements. You know, it's just expressed in a different way. And people just try to find escape route, because they find it very difficult to deal with that. So that's why we come in, they distract themselves doing other things so that they don't have to face it. So we just come to the place of accepting, yes, you recognize and acknowledge that. Actually, it's being honest. So that is a quality, honesty. Just honest about that. Just look at it. Okay. Then you exercise your kindness towards yourself by forgiving yourself. It's okay, you know. Then you make a determination. Okay, I would put, you know, put into practice, you know, develop, you know, to be a generous person and strengthen our virtue, being a virtuous person, being a good person, and being a calm person. You know, develop your meditation, you know, in meditation, you know. Then when you have a peaceful and still mind, You have the wisdom. The wisdom arises. Of course, you have different level of wisdom. It's a gradual training. So all of the fact that all of you here, you all have some wisdom. It's not that you have no wisdom at all. And you all have kindness. You all have the compassion. It's just not the level that like the Buddha at, you know. But it's, you know, you just keep practicing, it's getting there. Imagine, during Buddha's time, there was a severe killer, and Angulimala, he killed thousands of, you know, after he killed someone, he will cut the finger, he will hang it at a necklace. And he can get enlightened. Have you ever done that? No, isn't it? So you can get enlightened too, you know? You know, it's not that only special beings can get enlightened. No, you follow the path. We are very fortunate we have the way. So we develop that to being a kind person, compassionate person, a wise person, happy person. And we not only benefit ourselves, benefit others. Just keep going, keep going. You need to put into practice, you know. That's like to come to a place of acceptance, being kind. Because acceptance itself is kindness. Forgiveness also is kindness. So there's a lot of people think that, oh, I do metta meditation, only sit there, may I be well and happy. But actually throughout your life, throughout your daily life, your attitude, you know, so how you relate to others. If you relate to others with kindness, with compassion, with all the kind words, and you see someone with a smile, and this is how you train yourself, you know, to develop that the pattern, because this is a good habit, isn't it? And then it becomes part of you, and then you do it so naturally, you know. It's because you keep reinforcing that. You know, we brainwash ourselves in a good way. You know, that's why it is, because if we blame ourselves in an unskillful way, then lead us to more suffering. Like for example, like those terrorists, they believe they're doing something good. You know, they've been brainwashed, they've been told that it's good, and they believe that. So that's why most people say seeing is believing. Actually, it should be the other way around. Believing is seeing. You know, when you believe in something, you lock into that, you always interpret, you know, your way, you know, you will see it. But if you choose not to see, you won't see it. You know, because you lock into that, you don't see that, you know. And then I can see in early days, you know, I can see how my reaction towards my good friend that I like with someone that I don't really like. I can see the difference. If my good friend doing anything, I give all sorts of excuses. Maybe this, maybe that, you know. Isn't it? Oh, maybe she didn't mean it. You know, because you like this person. And you try to help to cover up, you know, the person, because you don't want to face it. Yes, this person really, you know, your good friend, because you have the attachment. And then someone that maybe if you don't like, if immediately they do something, you see, it's confirmed. How I look at it, you see, they're really bad, you know, isn't it? We already jump into the conclusion how bad the person is, isn't it? Because we don't like the person. So immediately, whatever the person said, we have a negative, you know, perception of that person. Whatever the person do, we see filter out, it's become negative. Because we lock into the perception, we lock into the view of how the person is. So they said, you see some people, when they're negative, whatever you said, whatever you do, it still become negative. I remember someone, like, he tried to praise someone, you know, said, you're so good. Sometimes you do have good ideas. And this person got very upset. And then this person said, what's wrong? I'm praising her. I'm praising her. I'm telling her that she got a good idea. But for this person, the compliment for this person is an insult, because she said, I only sometimes have good idea. You see, you never win, isn't it? You know, I only sometimes have good idea. And then she got upset. And then this person said, why she got upset? I'm trying to praise her, telling her that sometimes you could go. I mean, it's okay. We don't always have good idea, isn't it? And then sometimes you have good idea. Good, excellence. Others, sometimes you have good idea, you know. Why don't we look at what we have, isn't it? Rather than keep thinking that we are not perfect. No one perfect, is okay, you know. And this is sometimes if people have that perception, actually, no matter what you said, you know, they still lock in into that, you know, they will filter out. Even you try to praise someone, you know, that person think compliment becomes an insult. She think that you're insulting her. You know, that's why sometimes this is how we lock into that views, you know. That's why when we develop up our mind, that's why it's good to develop this openness. We've been open. That's why sometimes whatever we see, we don't jump into conclusion. Maybe really not what we seen, you know. Maybe actually it's not like, you know, what we perceive, you know. So give it the benefit of doubt. And also we free ourselves. We don't lock in, keep thinking about that person, how bad the person. And then we got upset. And sometimes we, you know, we suck in into other people's emotion. We make other people's business become our business, isn't it? Sometimes it's none of our business, isn't it? So we just, they say it's good that you bring your mind back. This is present moment, stay with yourself. And this helped you to get sucked into those negativity and then go on and on and on. So that's why to develop this, to have this compassion. So you have to develop your mind throughout. And it's happened by itself, little by little, step by step. So this all this quality has helped you to overcome all whatever addiction and, you know, that whatever defilements. They're just defilements, but we don't judge, we don't identify and label that, you know, this is some people think that they try to compare, you know, maybe my defilements is not as bad as the other person's defilements. Defilements is just defilements, you know. It's just expressed in a different way, you know. So that's why, you know, we just deal with that, you know. We cannot just get rid of it. You can't. You know, just that we when we are present, when we have the clarity, we stop reacting, we stop feeding it, then the intensity of that emotion become lesser and lesser and lesser. Because we don't add in new energy. It's just like the fire. If we keep adding on more fuel, it continue to burn. So when we stop, eventually, no more fuel, the fire stop by itself. The practice is like that. But a lot of people try to make it go away. You can't get rid of it. So we just stop. Not putting new energy, eventually it stops. So it's a gradual training. It's not open. It's not happening overnight. You know. So you practice that. You know, to be a virtuous person, a generous person, develop your mind, have a peaceful mind, still mind, and to have this wisdom, to develop wisdom, to have wisdom. So that's what. When you have wisdom, then it will solve, to be able to solve your problem in life, you know. So ultimately, you have to rely on yourself. Others, like me, can only give you, to show you the way, but you have to walk the way. You know, we just show you, okay, I give you the map, give you the direction, you follow. Of course, throughout your journey, you have some hiccup, you know, you have some, maybe some things happen that you need to keep overcome. On your journey, there's things happen that you need to overcome. But you know the direction, then all you need to do, you keep going and keep going, going. So there's like being a virtuous person, develop meditation, and also this how to develop your wisdom. And also that to come to a place of acceptance, being honest about that, to have this quality of this honesty, you know, acceptance. Then forgiveness, this kind, being kind, acceptance and forgiveness itself is being kind, is kindness. Then the last quality that you develop, that is the faith. This is one of the spiritual faculties, is important, the faith. I'm not talking about the faith that in the Buddha, or in the teacher. The one of the faith that is very important, that the faith in yourself, the confidence in yourself is important. Because you have no confidence in yourself, what's the point of doing it? You know, only the special beings can get enlightened. I'm not special being. You know, I can't do that. You know, so you won't put in effort, isn't it? What's the point of practicing anyway? I'm not good. I can't get enlightened anyway. It's not, you know, it's only other people can do it, not me. You know, so that's why they have the confidence in oneself. A severe killer can get enlightened. None of you do that, isn't it? So to arouse the faith, the confidence, especially in yourself, that we all, you know, inherently we are kind. It's just that sometimes as we grow up, you know, sometimes we develop certain unskillful, you know. A pattern then create suffering for ourselves, you know. But we all, you know, we all inherently kind. So to look at, to appreciate yourself, to look at yourself and then to appreciate that, you know, we all, you know, you have the kindness within ourselves. We all do. We all have that, you know. So to learn to appreciate yourself, then you feel good about it. When you have faith in yourself, you have that because when you have faith in yourself, that they arouse the energy, isn't it? You feel, very good, you got energy. You know, you feel inspired. So the best thing, you inspire by yourself. You know, sometimes reflect on the good qualities you have, to appreciate yourself, the good things that you have done. Not to worry that, you know, you will become, your ego become big. No, you just... Because that encourages you to do more good things, isn't it? When you reflect on the good quality, the good things that you have done, actually it encourages you. Because they give you happiness, then encourage you to do more. Then when you encourage you to do more, when you have done something good, give you lots of joy and happiness, then the joy and happiness itself is energy. So when you have energy, how do you feel? Your mind is bright, isn't it? When you have no energy, your mind is dull. So you have the brightness. then that help you to develop, you know, establish your mindfulness. You become more mindful, more aware, more alert of what's going on. And then when you have the mindfulness is strong, then your mind become, then you don't easily lock into, suck into others, other things, other people, defilements or whatever, you don't suck into that. And then your mind becomes, you practice meditation, you sit, your mind becomes still. So when we don't, easily get swayed, from by all the things that, the emotions, whatever pops up, because our mind keep, get pulled in. So if your mind don't pull in, your mind become still. When your mind becomes still, you have the clarity. That's where you have wisdom. This is the five spiritual faculties that the Buddha mentioned. You have the faith, they have the confidence, energy, mindfulness, stillness, and wisdom. So that's like, this is all this. But you have to apply it in your daily life and try to make it a habit that you try to sit every day, spend some time. Because everyday life, present moment awareness, that helps you to establish mindfulness. Then when you sit in meditation, so you carry over to your sitting meditation that help too, because then you'll be able to stay on your breath easily. So then when your stillness develops, when you go back to your daily life, then actually it's helped you, the stillness, actually the two sides of the coin. Then it's helped you in your daily, that you have to establish your mindfulness in daily life, your awareness, present moment awareness. And then you go back to sit, and this is how it's keep developing this way. They're both hand in hand helping each other. You need both. Some people say, oh, I have no time to meditate. I just practice present moment awareness. So then it's not enough that, you have some base that you can't go deep. You just remain that, But be sitting, so you will improve, you go further, you go deeper, and then you go back to daily life, and then you establish your, strengthen your mindfulness, and your stillness will be, you will develop your stillness much more, and then you go back, and then you keep developing, and then just keep going up. It's growing, keep growing. So you have to have both. So you have to develop that throughout. So, and then as you keep practicing, you're naturally, and then you let go more and more. And then as your mind become more and more purified, you have the purity, when we become purer and purer, and you naturally become kinder and kinder and more compassionate. And you'll be a wiser person. And a wise person is a happy person, and you're naturally happy. It's all natural. But a lot of people try to manufacture, try to make it happen. You can't. You have to put in the courses. You have to put in the practice, and that happen. You have to develop those qualities throughout your life, throughout your everyday life. You have to apply it, Then actually you can see that when you look back, and someone asked me, how do I know whether I have progressed? So I said, that, like, for example, sometimes things bother you for weeks, not bother you for days. Isn't it you suffer less? Isn't it? Suffer so much, much lesser, and then sometimes you hold on, can't let it go, but now you can let go easily. But maybe you still have that reaction. You still, have that anger, have that reaction, but you can let go easily. And if you can let go easily, compared to what you used to be, and actually you lessen your suffering so much, isn't it? And that is a progress. So the Buddha said, because it's a gradual training, So it's just like the Buddha said, someone asked the Buddha the same question, how do I know I have any progress in my practice? The Buddha said, because it's a very gradual training. So sometimes if you look at it every day, you think that you have no change, but actually you have. There is a shift there. But because it's so gradual, the same thing, when we build up our defilements, we don't know we have built up, isn't it? Until a day, wow, why I have this emotion? Because little by little, the defilements creep in, you know, it slowly build up without knowing that. The same thing, you purify yourself, you know, when your mind become more and more purified. And then this is how it keep growing. But because it's so gradual, so when you look at it every day, it seems that you have no change. You say, oh, I'm the same old me. But actually, you have change. You have progress. You know, it's just like the Buddha said, it's just like you use the X every day, you use it every day. And you look at the X, looks the same, isn't it? But one day, he said, the whole handle come out. The same thing one day, the penny just drop. Then you have that realization, the moment of awakening. Oh, I understand something. You know, something, oh, now I understand. Oh, now I know. Because the knowing is not, it's not the knowledge actually that the mind see itself. You know, you cannot put a finger on it. You just know. That just pops up, you know. Oh, you just realize that, oh, I know now what this means. Because all this time is just a concept until you have that realization that is your mind see itself. So when we say see, it's not the physical eyes to see something. It's just like you can see. And so I offer this for Dharma reflection. May this teaching be of benefit to all of you. And I... So any questions or comments?
Venerable, thank you so much for sharing all like you said, as an individual, by default, we all have kindness. We want to be a better version.
Yeah.
At individual level, if sometimes, not by choice, life give you a package for one to feel the experience that bruises one's heart and soul, and we lay people, we all play a role in the society, and I found the struggle, one hand, you have social civic duty and social responsibility, and to not accept or tolerance or let go of things you believe is wrong, is beyond the is very wrong, and then if you fight for that justice, and then the journey take you, and you see more injustice in the society, unfortunately, and incompetency, frustration, people lack of accountability. So how to deal with this struggle in between of forgiveness, acceptance, and then on the other hand, you feel if you accept this, then that's not you damage your identity. Your whole value system is distorted. So how you deal with the situation?
Actually, you have to develop this. You have to practice this. You know, not overnight. You know. And you have to develop the wisdom how to balance, you know. None of us, I'm not born as a nun. I was in the world before. I have to fulfill my responsibility. You see, you can do that. So as you develop your wisdom, you become better and better, know how to deal with the situation. So you need to not to worry so much about that, because now we start worrying, oh, I'm going to do this, you know. But you want to change your life. Because of, you know, I remember some times ago, someone asked me a question. He said, one Ajahn told him that, you know, that we all like automatic pilot, we all being conditioned. Sometimes we think that we make the choice, actually it's not our choice, you know. Actually, we just follow our whole aperture pattern, you know. So then he said, so how can I change? How can I change my life? I said, you can't. but... if you develop your clarity until you see that. If you can't change your life if you can't see. You know? Until you have the clarity, you see. If you keep going this direction, it's going to lead you to suffering. Then you develop your mind. Until you see that, then only you can make your choice. Before that, because you keep following. It's automatic pilot. You think that you make the choice, actually, be, you know, like for example, even, you know, you buy a certain shampoo, certain things, you think your choice. You've been brainwashed. You know, all the advertisement bombarded by all the advertisements said that this is the best product, you know. Then keep telling you, you know, then we choose that. Why people spend so much money on advertisement? It doesn't work. It's work, you know. They keep telling you, bombard you by that. And then you think that you make your own choice. We don't. Because we keep, they said this is how you have to recondition yourself, you know, in the, you have to recondition yourself. It's just like not to follow the old way. So you have to develop a new channel. So before your channel deepen, you know, the water will still flow back to the old. So you have to keep deepening. As your wisdom grow, you keep become better and better. You become more and more at ease with dealing the things that you need to deal. Sometimes I need to, when we have our building project, I need to deal with lots of things. You know, it's a big project, you know, a monastery, a few million dollars project, you know. And every day, there's something, you know. You know how construction, there always, you know, things happen. And always have to, I always get up that day, I don't know what I'm going to face, what problem they're going to have. Then I just live in the moment. Okay, I need to deal with it. I deal with it. So I can only do with my best ability what I can do. So after I make the decision, because sometimes I always have to make that decision on the spot. I have no time even for me to have longer time to think, because all the traders line up. If this delay, you delay the whole thing, and the traders, you can't get them back because they already scheduled that come that day. If you miss it, the whole thing, then it's always, I was put in that situation that really I have no time, not much time. So I just have to be brave that, okay, this is what I can do, whether I make the right decision or whatever. So I can only do what, you know, with my best ability. I can only do my best. Okay, I make the decision. So then, because they need my decision to say, okay, go ahead. So we have this problem. Then, so I will consult over us, the supervisor, the site supervisor, and I ask my architect if it's something to do with the structure, you know. Then I consult them. Then they give me all this, come up with this. Okay, this is the option. So then I would decide which way to go, which option we take, you know. So this is how you have to face that. It's not that I'm not, you know. I was thinking that once I become a nun, I'm out of it, you know. Then no. But it's so important that your attitude, how you deal with that things. So you just being, you know, deal with the, you just one thing at a time. The problem is sometimes people haven't started yet. They're already thinking, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do that. Before they start, they're already stressed out. Actually, the thinking itself is more suffering. Like you keep thinking about it, it's more suffering. No, put it aside. Just do what is in front of you. For me, I only deal with one day at a time. I don't even have time to really think too much. I don't even want to project and speculate what is going to happen tomorrow, because you can never project, you can never speculate what is going to happen tomorrow. There's always something new come up that is beyond my control. So since you know that it's beyond your control, we let it go. You know, it's just like Dalai Lama said, if you can do something about it, you do something about it. If you can't do something about it, so why worry, you know? If you can do something about it, so why worry? If you cannot do something about it, you know, why worry, you know? Because sometimes the thinking itself creates more suffering. You know, the thing that you I can tell you, 99%, the thing that you worry about is going to happen, it never happened. It's always happened things that you never even thought of, you know? Because the thing that you don't expect them to happen is things that outside what you know. You know? It's outside what you know. And it's always sometimes we don't know everything. So they say sometimes, oh, You don't panic. Sometimes things will sort itself out. Right? For example, we have lots of problems. Even the setting up, you know, the retaining wall, they're supposed to be in line, the meditation hall, the dining and the courtyard, you know, supposed to be in line. And somehow the setup, they're not in line, they go this way. You know, what to do? Then they're supposed to be in line like that. We have a stairs, you know, go like that, straight, you know, the stair in line, so you got stair. So it come up one this way. So what we did, we make the stair this way, and it looks very nice. It turns up really nice, like not so boring, like just flat, there's a straight, you know. So no problem, you know. It's not a problem. You know, that is part of life, you know. Sometimes we think that having a problem is a problem, you know. The problem is, we think that having problem is a problem. That is part of life, you know. So you don't expect that you can resolve everything and then you'll be very smooth. No. So it's very important that you develop the attitude, how you relate to that moment, how you do it. Okay, just be honest to yourself that I can only do my best. If the results, sometimes you put in 100% effort, you may not get 100% results. Sometimes the results you cannot, you know, like sometimes people study hard, they don't get good marks. So okay, but deep down you know, I did my best, you know, that's all I can do, you know. The same thing. That's why I'm not worried about that. I make all this decision or whatever, you know. If people think that I'm terrible, I make a wrong decision, I say, okay, if you think that you do a better job than me, you come and do it. I'm happily let you do it. But I can only do my best. So that's why it's important, because sometimes all this suffering comes from our ego. We think that we have to be perfect, and then we bother so much about how people look at us, how people, you know, think we have to be perfect, know everything. It's okay, we don't know everything, you know. So, yeah, I think the thinking part actually, you know, it creates more suffering because it's unknown. The future is unknown. We really don't know what is going to happen next, you know. We have someone, the son, certain death, very young age, you know, it's a shock to the parents. And when we talk about death, you know, people start to look at the old one, you know. No, actually we can die anytime, you know. So when you reflect on that, doesn't matter, you know. Live it, you know, take it one day at a time, one moment at a time. Just live to the fullest in this moment. So because a lot of things is just like beyond your control, and then you can't really, you know. I mean, yes, we can do our best, try to plan things out, you know, try, you know, in case there's something happen and we'll be able to deal with the situation. But sometimes it's just beyond your control. It's just like, for example, we live in a bush. So we have mobile phone for any bushfire emergency and things like that. You know, then in case that the phone, the landline doesn't work and the internet that, you know, doesn't work, you know, at least we have something to check, you know. But one day, you know, both landline not working, we can't call, and the no signal, no reception, because they have power outage, and then normally power outage, the landline, they have a backup battery, and then the station, you know, the power, the station for this mobile, they also have the backup battery, and the same day both backup battery been stolen. Have you ever thought of that? And then, you see, we think that we plan out, we say we have this, you know, if in case this, I have this, you know, I can put out this, you know. But both, we said, you see, that is part of life. But we can, it's not that we don't do anything. We can only do our best, you know. But because sometimes we cannot, that's why this is where the letting go. If you can't do anything about it, you have to learn to let go. That's why, like, sometimes parents of children, oh, what I'm doing. I said, yes, you can only do your best. You love them as they are. But if they do not going to listen to you, or they want their own way, you just have to let them be. That is where you have to let go. But doesn't mean that you don't love them. You're always there for them. You always open the door of your heart for them. You tell them that I love you. If you really have any problem, please come back. But worry about them, you know. Sometimes they have to go through the process. Sometimes you cannot be too protective they have to go through the learn. Like when I was young, I would hit the wall so many times, I may learn that it hurts, you know. Then you don't do that again, because you can't keep telling your child that don't do this, don't do that, you know. They have to go through, they have to learn. They have to go through the process. You can't protect them. But of course, you can always stay for them, for the children. You love them, you know, okay, I'm always here. I'm always love you. But you have to let them go. Sometimes you have to let our children go. And also the same thing, sometimes you have to let that go. It's not letting go, it's not that getting rid of thing, you know. Some people say, oh yeah, I'm let go of my children, I let go of my son, I ask him to move out from the house, I let go of him. Hey, it's not this type of letting go. You know, sometimes people think that physical letting go is not, it's the attachment that causes suffering, be worrying about them, you know. But sometimes we can't do anything about it. Rather than you worrying about them, you know, it's not going to help them. So it's much more that the thinking is more suffering than actually you face it. So that's why it's always the best thing that whatever, in whatever situation, just stay and face it. Even though it's unpleasant, because the unpleasantness will pass. It won't stay there forever. So once you have done that, you know, so you become better and better, you become more and more, you become more and more skillful, and you're good at that. Then after that, you're not afraid anymore to face any situation. You know that you cannot run away, you have to face it. That's why this is the training, you have to train yourself little by little. You're not going to happen overnight. But don't start to worry about the future. I'm not cursing you. We don't even know that whether I'm still alive, you're still alive tomorrow, and then you worry about things that are going to happen 10 years, 20 years, or a few years later. So live well in this moment is most important, because your future is in this moment. So live well in this moment. So does that answer your question?
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Okay. So any more questions or comments? So then, yeah, 9:40 already. I think some people you can... Yes? No, I thought...
I just don't know how really to say this. It's something I've discovered over the weekend. It's been very informative, and the more you talk, the more I learn. So It's fantastic. I came here to learn how to meditate. I believe I've done that. It's a yin and a yang. It's kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a little frightening.
Uh-huh.
It's a new experience.
Yeah.
So this morning I went somewhere quite deep, like disappeared for about, I was in here, came in at 4:30, but wow, it was nearly 5:30.
Uh-huh.
I lost like an hour. It was just a bit disquieting because I haven't sort of felt that before. So it's nothing to be frightened of, is it?
Yeah. Because sometimes things that, because we always feel comfort, we always like to hold on to things that we familiar with. When anything that we are not familiar, we have this fear, because something unknown. That's why sometimes people rather hold on to the things that they're familiar with, even though it causes them suffering. They know that this is I know, you know. But things that heading, you know, towards things that are unknown, it's naturally you have that fear. So you just look at the fear, just stay with the fear. The frightened, whatever, the present moment, you know, you stay present means you be with whatever happened in this moment. Whether it's pleasant, whether it's unpleasant, we just know that. Just to feel, how is it feel like this moment with this feeling? Because most of us, we are not present because we run away. Then we start to into all sorts of fantasy or thinking, you know, or doing something else, you know, or start cleaning toilets, you know. Start cleaning toilet, cleaning this, you know. Then we are not in we are not facing it. Because if you start to do that, slowly you become more at ease and at peace with whatever you experience. So that is how we train the mind to be able to be at ease and at peace with whatever that we... Sometimes we cannot run away, this comes, you know, that we have to experience that. So that is how we develop that, you know, we develop our mind, then we be able to at ease and at peace with that moment that we need to experience that, the situation where we be at ease and at peace in every situation, every moment that we at.
Just look at the disquiet, feel the disquiet,
yeah, yeah.
But don't take it on, just kind of recognize it.
No, because when you try to take it on and try to figure out, you know, then that is there where you start the thinking, there where you start the projection, then it's all projection. Whether or not, we don't know. It's just a projection, maybe this, maybe that. So just stay. Just say, okay, this is how you feel, just stay with that. Then until that subsides, you feel very peaceful and calm because you let go of that. And you feel, yeah, when last time I deal with fear, when the fear hit to the maximum and it subsides, I feel so peaceful and calm. I feel so nice, so peaceful. So if you have the experience, you're not afraid anymore. Yes. Actually, it's just sometimes, it's just natural when we practice, when we have the clarity. We can really see that. That's how the mind works, because we really go in depth understanding the mind. And I never studied psychology. But in fact, if you study your own mind, that is good enough. You know? That is the best, you know. Yeah, if you can read your own mind, it's the best thing, you know. That's how you can understand others very well. So this is how this, because we keep looking inside. Because most people, we've been conditioned, we like to look out. And sometimes it's strange that some people complain to me, this person do this, do that. Then I look at this person, okay. Actually, you're doing the same thing as well. But you can see other people doing it, but you can't see yourself, isn't it? It's easy to see other, you know, doing this, but you can't see yourself. You know? Yes?
I think I still struggle with what I see as such a subtle difference between experiencing these difficult emotions and getting caught up in them. Is there I know you've said there that maybe if you're planning or projecting or there may be signs that you're getting caught up in these things, is there any other way to demarcate where you should go to when witnessing these things? Is there something like if you're really getting caught up in things, a difficult emotion, maybe if it's repeating itself, is it worth just sort of naming it, or how can we stop getting caught up so much?
Okay, and another skillful means you can use a breathing exercise. Like, for example, sometimes maybe some people have anxieties, you know, but because normally when the anxieties, whatever emotion comes up, it's always lead to, followed by thoughts, you know, you start to speculates and projects, you know, then that moment, you know, whatever emotion comes up, for example, anxieties or sometimes that panicking, you know, just, you know, then you just breathing in anxieties, breathing out peace. Breathing in anxieties, breathing out peace. You make peace with that emotion. So because this is another way to actually take your mind away from, because if not, you will start, if you, sometimes you start to be with the emotion, you get sucked in. But you use this like a fire break, you know? You know, a break. So you do this. Then after that, when you feel a bit calm down, you don't, your mind become more settled, then you can look at your physical feelings. Is there any tightness, any physical? That is used as a, like a fire break, you know, when the fire coming, you know, you got a break there, a fire break, you do that. And after that, you go back to your physical feelings and stay with that feelings until it subsides. So when they subside, you feel really peaceful and calm. Then if you be able to deal with that and then you have that experience, you start to have confidence. Then you slowly, you keep doing it, you know, to deal with it, you know, and then you be able to deal with that. And then this is how you start to develop the confidence in yourself. And then you're no longer afraid to have this emotion. Because sometimes you really have the fear of having this emotion. And sometimes the fear of the fear. And then this is how it keeps, you know, leading one thing to another. Yeah. So, yeah. It's that is another way you can use that to do that. Okay?
So are you saying it's, sometimes it's almost it's part of the learning process?
Yeah,
To really get in touch with
Yeah.
You've got to go slowly.
Yeah.
It'll just sort of...
Yes?
Other meditation practices encourage people to be grounded before going into meditation.
Yes. Like for example, like day before yesterday, I mentioned about like walking meditation is good. Like even in Thailand, even many great monk, when they're young monk, they have lots of energy. They can't sit. Some of the monks, they walk for 7-8 hours. Because they develop, because for them sitting is too difficult, the breathing is too subtle, and then especially some very young monk, they have lots of energy, so they do walking meditation to wear out the energy and to, you know, and also to establish mindfulness through walking meditation. There's another way, and this way, even some great monk in Thailand, when they were young, even Achang Cha, you know, when he was young also, he got lots of energy. You know, and he tried very hard until he's so tired, and he let go. Then he you know, because the harder, the more you try, the worse, you know. So walking meditation is one of the ways. Sometimes you just relax yourself first, you know, just relax. And sometimes you can just sit there doing nothing, have a cup of tea, just enjoy, you know. And then you can feel that your mind is peaceful and calm. Then if you feel like you want to meditate, you meditate. You just go to sit, you know. But don't, because especially if you're still working, sometimes it's very hectic, you know, those life, you know. And you go back, if you force yourself to sit, can be counterproductive. Because you cannot make the mind, you cannot make it still. You can't do that. But you can just slow down the mind. Slow your mind down. It's like a transition period. You slow it down. Maybe you do some walking meditation just to relax a little bit. Or sitting there just doing nothing. Relax your body. Relax your whole body. You know. Then until you feel peaceful and calm, then you go on to a more subtle object. Okay, is that answer or question? Okay. Yes.
Yourself to accept yourself, or accept the situation as something that's caused your defilements to
Come up. And actually, this you have to keep, you know, practicing. And then, you know, and it's part like you have to sometimes you have to keep recondition yourself. And even though you do that once, you still feel like you cannot forgive yourself. But you still have to, whenever it comes out, you know, that you find that you can't forgive yourself, you just say, oh, may I be able to forgive myself one day? Because that stopped you from suck into the thinking again. So you have to, the practice is that you have to keep doing that, you know, until you really sink in. You know, like any practice, you know, any athletes, isn't it? They spend a day, 8 hours, 7 hours, you know, doing the same thing, you know. The same thing, you have to keep doing that. They said no shortcut. You have to keep develop. You have to keep doing that until you up to a certain level, you start to have the confidence to deal with that, to deal with it. Before that, you don't have confidence, you know. But because when you start to develop, you know, when as your wisdom develop, and then you started to have your confidence to deal with the lady also the same. I told you that being abused and go through that, she keep doing that, and then over a period of time, she was okay. Now she's okay. She my relative, she says she have no anger, and even think of her ex also, she don't have the anger towards him anymore. But it takes time. No, she said whenever, you know, she just said, may I have loving kindness towards this person, may I be able to forgive this person, or may I be able to forgive myself, you know. It takes time. It's just like, you know, that because we being impatient, like you have a wound, you know, it takes time to heal. But, you know, you don't every 5 minutes and open up and say, not healed yet. Maybe I need more septic, you know, antiseptic cream, you know. Because we want it to go away immediately, you can't, you know. So it's just a matter of time. Take a bit of time. So you let it heal, you know. Any, you know, injuries. It takes time to heal, isn't it? You're not going to heal overnight, you know. It takes time to heal. So they said Buddha said patience is the highest virtue. Be patient. They said in your daily life, try to slow down, you know, because sometimes the fact that we have been impatient because we too fast, we move too fast, we rush from one thing to another, then we become very impatient. One thing happened yesterday, you know. Oh, you know. So you have to slow down first. Whatever you do, try to slow down and try to be more patient, you know. It's just a matter of time. So you have to keep doing that until it sinks in. Okay? So answer the question, yeah?
Just for another question.
Uh-huh.
I had the experience last night. I feel very strange. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
This is the very first time for me to do the meditation yesterday mm-hmm. and today. And whatever you said yesterday, I feel like you not only read my mind, you also predict what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Last night, you talked about when do meditation, you your mind relax and your muscle relax, sometimes have like twitching.
Mm-hmm.
So last night I had a dream. It's really bizarre because there are two completely separate things. One of which is I spent 2 or 3 years trying to avoid or mm-hmm. to suppress or whatever. To not revisit, just so unpleasant to revisit. And another thing is not that major, but two separate things. So last night I had a dream, and just somehow these two things blend together. So I had a dream, and then I had this muscle twitching, and just all of a sudden I wake up. and wake up, I thought, okay, I'll follow your advice. I just don't avoid, I just to acknowledge and to acknowledge what happened. I don't want to revisit, but this is so vivid in my dreams, so I just accept, revisit. But the outcome, I didn't manage so well in the sense that I thought, okay, when I accept, I revisit, then I, you know, let go. But then this morning, I feel tired because I couldn't sleep afterwards. And then these things, which I try to forget and constantly came back on my mind again and bothering me. So how should I manage?
Yeah, it will still keep coming back. Because the problem is we think that, oh, now I started to practice, it's not one off, and then, oh, I have done with, it will not come back anymore. It will still keep coming back, but it will become like less and less, you know. But you just started, so you just look at it. Now you know that this is something that you need to work on. So not to worry about that and expect that they will come again and again doesn't mean that now, oh, I'm start to practice, I start to meditate, oh, I solve all my problem, you know, that won't come out, you know. You'd be disappointed if you think that, you know. It still comes out, and you have to keep, you know, you have to keep facing it until that you see it become like, oh, it's okay. Because the more you try to run away, it's become worse. If you leave it alone, you face it, okay. Then slowly, it will subside, gradually, you know. But because a lot of people don't know, by running away or suppress it, actually you reinforce it. So now you learn how to look at it and recognize, acknowledge, accept, forgive. So you have to keep doing that. Then slowly, this will come, like maybe that we sit you, you know, very quite rapid, and slowly it's not as rapid, and then slowly, then for a long time never happened. Then you think that, some people said to me, oh, long time this year happened, they thought that, oh, I have already resolved, and then after a while come out again. I said, it's okay, but at least you can see that you already free yourself, like it won't come that often, you know. Like in the past, it's come very often, but now, you know, long time, and then it pops out a little bit, and then they come again. But you already lessen so much suffering, but not to expect that it will go away completely. It was still there, but at least it's manageable. And you become more at ease and at peace. And this is where you started to have confidence in your practice. Okay? Okay.
I was just comparing to the meditation technique you taught us with Vipassana. Uh-huh. With Vipassana, you know how you focus on the breath for 3 days,
uh-huh,
just air coming in and out, uh-huh, and then you focus on the bodily sensations after. But what we do here, you say to do the walking meditation, and then we sit and then focus on the bodily sensations,
mm-hmm,
and then we focus on the breath. It's completely opposite to what I teach in Vipassana.
Because for the, I think the, in early days I do with Vipassana too. Normally we encourage to do walking. Because the reason why we encourage you to do the walking meditation, because it's a causal object. Breath is very subtle. So you don't start with the difficult one, isn't it? You start with the easy one. It's just like you go to school, you start with kindy, you know, level one, level two, you know. You don't straight away go to universities, you know. This is how, that's why we encourage people to go with the coarser object, then slowly to more refined object. Because the movement, you know, awareness of your bodily movement, that is a coarser object compared to your bodily feeling sensation. That is more subtle than that. So then from a coarser, you go to a more subtle and more subtle. So that is a gradual training from a coarser to more refined, more subtle level. This is a gradual training. But if you try to start from that to that, you know, you don't go to the university first, then you go back to primary school, you know. Because, yeah.
What would you say when you sit down and, say, do a body scan or focus on the breathing? What's more subtle in your opinion, you know?
The breath is much subtler than the physical sensation.
Okay.
That's why the body movement is coarser than the bodily feeling sensation. And the bodily sensation feelings is coarser than the breath. The breath is very subtle. So that's why we train, we establish, you know, our mindfulness through the coarser object to more refined object. Then it's easier. That is like you more like smooth, you know, gradually grow. And you are not forcing, you are not using willpower. Because if you try to force, you try to use willpower, you ended up very tired. And you have agitation, you feel, because using too much willpower, try to do it and try to make it happen. But you fall, you just from a coarser to more refined level, and it becomes really smooth. And you're not so stressful. And you progress even faster. Okay? Yeah. Anyone just now? I hear someone. Yeah. Huh? Okay. So, 10 o'clock. So, any more questions or comments? I think the last question. Any more? No more? Then, going, gone. So, thank you for listening. Okay.